Back in stagecoach days, a driver hired a new man to ride shotgun with him. The first morning as they were leaving, he said to this man, "Look around in every direction and see if you see anything unusual." The man looked and he said, "I don't see but one thing a bit unusual. There is a man riding a horse coming from that direction and coming directly toward us." He said, "How big does he look?" He said, "About that big." "Well," he said, "no danger today." Next morning they got up and he told him the same thing. He looked and he said, "I don't see anything except that man riding that horse. He's coming in our direction from that direction." He said, "How big does he look today?" And he said, "About that big." "No problem." Third day the same thing. And he asked him, he said, "Oh, he's about that big." Fourth day, he asked him, and he said, "I don't see anything except that man on that horse." He said, "How big is he?" He said, "About as tall as I am." He said, "Shoot him." He said, "I can't. I've known him since he was that big." There are some folks here this morning that I have known since they were that big. Baldwin's from Clarksville. We've been close friends for 43 years, and seen their children and grandchildren grow, and have a granddaughter now at Freed Hardeman, and I've literally known her and her brother since they were that big. It's good to have all of you here this morning. It's good to be back, and it's good to worship God. I feel obligated to take the Baldwins out to eat today. In fact, I'd like to take all of you out to eat. Just across on the other side of the building after the service is over. One of the positive things about being here today is we get to eat. One of the negative things is you have to listen to me preach. But I enjoy preaching God's Word, and I want to share with you today some things that I think are especially important. And if I had been picking a lesson for an audience, knowing that a lot of young people were in the audience, I would have selected this, although I selected this topic several weeks ago. We're in a series of lessons on Sunday morning dealing with animals and lessons from the farm and lessons from nature. We started the 1st of January. I don't know when we'll get through. We're continuing. And today our lesson has to do with four wise little creatures. In Proverbs 30, at verse 25, we have these described. "The ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer. The conies are but a feeble folk, yet make they their homes in the rocks. The locusts have no king, yet go they forth all of them by bands. The spider taketh hold with her hands and is in kings' palaces." And some versions translate that verse "lizard" instead of "spider." The spider or the lizard taketh hold with the hands and is in kings' palaces. I want you to remember those four wise little creatures when we're through today. And I may have the board where those of you over on this side cannot see it. But I've placed four words on that board. I'll mention all four of those in the lesson. And then at the end, we'll use those as somewhat of a summary for the lesson. Four wise little creatures. It's interesting that in Proverbs 6:6, the wise men said, "Go to the ants, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise." Learn lessons from the ants. That's what he said. Those little black things that annoy us and crawl around on the house or on the ground, learn lessons from them. That's what he said. And he even called them, with these other three, wise in our text in Proverbs chapter 30. Think about the ants for a moment. I suppose that you have seen them many times. I've had trouble with ants at my house. Occasionally they'll get inside the house and I have to deal with them. I had those who treat for termites to treat for ants. And back about 5 years ago, my air conditioner downstairs would not come on. And when I called the people to come and check, and they took the panel off, the inside of it was literally covered with ants to the extent that they had shorted it out and it wouldn't work. Now, frankly, I had a little bit of difficulty finding the wisdom connected with that. But I have watched ants over the years. I remember one day many years ago when I was plowing in the field. I did a lot of plowing with a mule. And I looked down and I saw an ant, a rather large ant, crawling over one of those clods in the field. And I stopped and watched. That particular ant had a ball of something that was about three times as big as itself. And it was rolling it, I suppose taking it to where it planned to store it, not knowing that I was in the process of tearing up the entire field. But that ant had something that was at least three times as big as it was and was rolling it in a direction to take care of it and to store it. I see an animal on a regular basis that does the same thing. We have squirrels in our yard. In fact, I looked out the other day and I think I counted 12 at one time. They have stored nuts all over my yard, especially around my shrubs and flowers. I'll go out sometimes and there'll be little holes just all along. And I've watched those squirrels, and right now, as they've been going through the winter, maybe not as much as in times past, they know where to go in my yard. I'm amazed that they'll go over to a certain point. There's no marker there that I can see. And they'll begin digging, and they'll come up with a nut. I remember a few years ago when we had an apple tree over to one side of the yard, seeing a squirrel going across the yard with an apple about that big in its mouth. And it went up the tree and came out on a limb, still holding that apple. I ran out and shouted, and it dropped the apple. There are things that will make them drop things, but that squirrel was storing and then using that which he had stored. Now, think about that for a moment, and think about the fact that he said, "Go to these creatures and learn from them. They are wise. Learn the lessons from them." The main lesson that we can learn from the ant is that it plans ahead. The squirrel would be the same kind of lesson, planning ahead. How many times do you and I fail to plan ahead? How many of those of you that are in school wait till the last night before a paper is due to start working on it? Don't tell me you don't know what I'm talking about. How many of us that have debts to pay and things to do wait until as long as we can, put it off as long as we can before we do anything about it? All of us have had that experience. And yet planning ahead is so important. Our giving, for example, this morning was supposed to have been done out of planning ahead. You see, 2 Corinthians 9:7 says we are to give as we have purposed in the heart. That's another word for planning. Just to come to the services and when the plate is passed, reach in the pocket and get something, not even think about it, doesn't fulfill what God has said. He said we are to plan ahead. It is said in 1 Corinthians 7:37 that a father is to act toward his child as he has determined. That word suggests the idea of planning. We encourage parents to plan ahead for college education, and we encourage young people to plan ahead and save, and I especially encourage young adults to think about beginning to save a little bit for rainy days and for times when there's not any income. And proper planning is so important. We will pay people at financial institutions to plan for us that we might be able to have what we need at a later date. We need to learn to plan. We need to realize that we can handle bigger things than we think if we plan. Paul said, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me," Philippians 4:13. We need to learn to start early. "Remember now thy Creator the days of thy youth," Ecclesiastes 12:1. And Jesus said, "I must work the works of him that sent me while it is yet day, for night cometh when no man can work." I am a stickler for planning. I have a calendar book that I carry in my pocket, and if I don't have it, I feel about half naked. I have a calendar on my desk. I have notebooks with plans in them for the years. I try to plan ahead as far as the sermons that I preach. I have a little system that I use for every day. When I get up in the morning, I think of three things. There are some things that are musts, there are some that are shoulds, and there are some that are coulds. And I try to divide all of my things that I have ahead in those three categories. I have encouraged young people at school to do this, to have some kind of a system like that. I am encouraging young people, and get this point, when you're studying things like literature and history, to memorize the table of contents of that textbook. If you'll do that, the first thing when you start studying that book, you've got a framework to study everything that you have for that class. Folks, we need to learn to plan ahead. Even the church is to do this. It's indicated in 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9 that the church at Corinth had been forward a year ago, indicating they had planned a year at a time or a year ahead to do this certain mission work. There's one of the places, at least, that we get the idea for a budget for the church, planning ahead. We may not be able to do all our plans. We may be able to add and need to add more as we go along, but it is important to plan. That's the lesson that we get from the ant. And then he said the conies. They're a feeble folk, but they make their house in the rocks. Some of you may have been reading from a version there, if you were following along, that said a rock badger or something of that nature. That's what the coney is. It's a rock badger, and they make their homes in the rocks. Have you ever been walking in an area where there are a lot of rocks and see a little animal peek out from under some of the rocks? Ground squirrels, for example, will do that sometimes. I believe that's another name for a chipmunk. But anyway, he said they make their houses in the rocks. How long do you think a coney or a rock badger would last if he ran up against a lion and started fighting that lion? How long do you think he would last if he was out here in the open and a dog took off after him and caught him? Wouldn't have a chance, would he? How long would you and I last by ourselves in life if we try to go it alone, stand it alone, and do not have the protection and the help that we need? You see, many a time, one of those little animals that lives in the rocks has run, was fast enough to get away from that which could have devoured him completely, and he runs into the rocks, and the larger animal cannot get there. Do you remember that it is Jesus that is called our rock? Many times God is called our refuge. Many verses indicate the idea of protection. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, Hebrews 13:5. There's no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. I will not allow you, or it says God will not allow you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation provide a way of escape. He'll provide a rock that you can get behind, or a rock that will protect you in life, if you look for that way and find it in Him. Jesus Christ is the foundation of everything that we are. And as long as we're standing on Him, we're standing on the rock. As long as we're using Him for protection, we are in a sense hiding in the rock. If I remember right, there are two or three of the songs that we sing about hiding in the rock, using the word rock there in the sense of protection. And what is pointed out in this part of the discussion of these four wise little creatures is that we need to take our stand in the appropriate place. There are many times that I cannot stand alone, that I cannot provide everything that I need for myself. There are many times that if it were not for Christ, I would not be able to make it. Many difficulties in life, and I could not face it, were it not for finding the help and the protection that is there in Christ. Like the ants, we need to plan. Like the conies, we need to stand. And then he said, look at the locusts. They're small, but they go together in groups. We've been studying in the book of Revelation on Wednesday night, and you remember the plague of the locusts there? And as you go back to the Old Testament and the children of Israel in Egypt, you remember the plague of the locusts? And as you study through the Old Testament, you remember the times when God would bring things upon people to punish them, and one of them would be that the locusts would come through and just strip the grain out of the field or off of the stalks. You and I probably have never seen anything exactly like that, but some countries have even today, where locusts come in and literally destroy it. Now, those things are just little bitty creatures, but they go forth by bands. They band together, and look what they are able to accomplish. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Psalms 133 verse 1. Let brotherly love continue. Hebrews 13 verse 1. The body is of many members, but they're fit together. The different functions of those members are described in detail in 1 Corinthians 12. And in Ephesians 4, along about verses 15 and 16, he says, the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body, quantity growth unto the edifying of itself in love, quality growth. Why? Because they stick together and they work together. Back in Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and verse 12, it says that a threefold cord is not easily broken. And just before that, it talks about being together as two is better than being by yourself. Just think about it. If you took my finger, just the one finger, there are many of you in this audience this morning that are strong enough, you could break that finger in two. But a threefold cord, you put all those three fingers together, and especially if you wrap them together in closeness, there's not a person in this audience probably that could break all three of those. That's the idea that is involved here, that they go forth together. He says they don't have any king. Think about the church for a moment. We don't have any earthly headquarters. Oh, we have a king in heaven, Jesus our king, certainly. But we don't have a king on earth. And even when we have people in specific positions within local congregations, nobody is the king. We're all to be working together. I think it was J. Edgar Hoover that is quoted one time as having said, in answer to the question, if we were invaded by a foreign nation, what group in the United States would be the hardest to take over? And he said, the churches of Christ. And you stop and think about it for a moment. Basically, every religion that you hear about, other than the New Testament church, is organized with central headquarters. What would a nation have to do to take over the Catholic Church? Just take over the Vatican, that's all. And then they'd have control over all of it. What would they have to do to take over specific denominations that you know of? Know where those earthly headquarters are. Just take over the top and trickle down. Can't do that with the church. Because the New Testament church is organized, and I think God knew what he was doing on this point as well as other points in doing this. It's organized in such a way that the only way to take over the church of Christ in this country is to take over each specific local congregation. There's something about not having a king on this earth, but there's also something about banding together and working together. One of the biggest shames, and listen to this, one of the biggest shames in the church today is that we preachers in general are having to spend most of our time trying to get the Christians to do what they're supposed to do and don't have time to be evangelizing the world. We spend so much of our time trying to get people to get along with each other here. And I sometimes wonder, if we can't get along with each other here, how are we going to get along with each other in heaven? I'm not going to sit on the seat with that person. I've got an article in the bulletin about this week. I'm not going to go if somebody is at church. What if you get to heaven and that person shows up in the section where you are? Where are you going then? Folks, we need to realize the importance of banding together and being together in the Lord's work. There's so many things I can't do by myself. You can't do by yourself. But look what we can do together, even as a smaller congregation like this. And look what we can do together when all the Christians everywhere get on the same wavelength and work together to promote Jesus Christ and take the gospel to the whole world. He said, look at the locusts. They're a little bitty few of creatures, but they band together. And they can leave their mark on a field anywhere in just a few minutes. And then he said, look at the spider. Or if it is the lizard. I don't know why there's a difference in translations here, but I understand both of these. I remember being in Belo Horizonte, Brazil, several years ago, in the house of a preacher there that we were supporting. And up on the wall was a lizard. They called it something else. I've forgotten what it was, but about that long. I said something about it, and they said, oh, just leave it alone. Well, I left it alone, but I kept my distance. They said those lizards are very valuable. They need to be in the house in order to take care of other creatures like spiders that might be harmful to us. That lizard's not harmful. It's valuable. Think about the spiders. I would guess that all of us this morning have at least one thing in common. There is a spider web in your house. I suspect that there is. I've always had difficulty, more than usual, more than other people, with spider webs. Because you stop and think about it. The rest of you walk through, you don't get these spider webs that are right up here. And then when I walk through, I get all of those. I run into spider webs that you wouldn't. The other day, I happened to look down in the corner at the baseboards in one of my rooms. I keep my house fairly clean and straightened up. Some of you came by yesterday, and I'm never ashamed to invite anybody in. But I don't want you to look down too closely in some of the corners. My house needs a good, thorough, in-depth cleaning. I looked down, and spider webs right in the corner down here. And I looked up, spider web up there. Well, I've got me one of those brush-like things that's got a handle on it. And I went and got it, and I go around all the room like that. But I'll guarantee you, if you look for a little while, you'd find a spider in my house. He said, look at the spiders. They go everywhere. They get into places you can't get in. They get into king's palaces. And another place in Proverbs 22:29, he says, the diligent will stand before kings. We need to be like the spiders in the sense that we are diligently and we put forth the effort. Those first three words that are emphasized, planning, standing, banding together, don't mean very much unless you put this fourth one with it. And that's getting busy doing something. We need to do planning, but don't plan all the time. Some of you enjoy fishing. It's good to plan about fishing, what lures to use and how you catch. But I'll tell you something, if you stay at home, you're not going to catch anything. After you've done all that planning and working together and everything, you've got to get out there and fish where the fish are if you're going to fish, you're going to catch anything. He said, look at the spider. They put their hands, they take hold with their hands, figure of speech, and they get the job done. Jesus said, he that puts his hand to the plow and looks back is not worthy. Put your hand to the plow and look out yonder ahead and have your goal ahead toward which you want to plow. When Jesus is described, or when the writer of Acts describes his former treatise about Jesus, said he wrote of all that Jesus began to do and to teach. Notice the effort. And notice the many times, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. And I think another statement to go along with that would be ye doers of the word and not sayers only. Oh, we can talk up a good plan and talk about what we're going to do. But the question is, what do we do? And sometimes the only way to get the job done is just to get out there and get your hands dirty. Just get out there and work. There are a lot of four-letter words in the English language we need to not use, but there's one four-letter word that we do need to use that a lot don't want to use, and that's W-O-R-K. If my dad ever taught me anything, he taught that. In fact, you've heard me say before, I think there were times that I was plowing when the field didn't need plowing, but he thought I needed to plow. And I'm glad he taught me work. Putting forth your hand, doing something, being involved, effort. Now he said, you go to these four little preachers and you'll learn something. They're wise. And this is basically what he said. Make a plan. Take a stand. Band together. And put forth your hand. That's the lesson that's in this. And folks, if we can take those four words and put them into proper focus and put them into our lives, we can be successful. Make a plan. Plan ahead. If the Lord will, needs to be involved in it, but make a plan. Take a stand. Know what you believe and don't be ashamed to stand for it. And then band together. You need the help of others. You can't go it alone. You need the help of God. You need the help of others. And then work with your hands. Do something is where the answer is. And if you stop and think about it, as we consider the Lord extending his invitation, this idea is involved. God planned for us that we could be saved. He wants us to take a stand in our faith for him. He wants us as individuals to obey, but to be a part of the whole, banding together in the church, and especially he wants us to put forth the efforts of obedience, to believe, repent, confess, be baptized for the remission of sins, and to live the Christian life. And when we go astray, to confess our faults and repent of our sins and pray to God for forgiveness, doing what God has said. That's obedience. That's getting busy using our hands and our lives in his service. Are you planning ahead?